Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Hanukkah Shiur by Rabbi Daniel Landes. Rabbi Landes is the director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. Today's learning will be called Hanukkah Triash. You'll see as we do it. Certain decisions that have to be made. And we're going to use, as I try to do for the iPad, learning sessions, as much as possible, the Rambam, Maimonides, his Mishnah Torah, his summation of Jewish law in 14 volumes. Volume 2 is called Zamanim, Seasons. It talks about Shabbat and all the holidays. The very last discussion in this volume, which is a large volume, is that about Megillah and Hanukkah, Megillah v'Hanukkah, the laws of those two subjects. And he's placed them at the end. And the very last section is about Hanukkah. And we're looking at the last three Halachot, the very last three subsections of the final chapter, chapter 4, and I think we'll get an idea of why, because Maimonidean scholars are always asking themselves why. Why did he structure his conversation? He could have ended with a different holiday, but he ended with Hanukkah. So we'll see that. Maimonides has discussed so far when you light, late nights, how many candles, interesting, complicated conversation. With what you light, what are the oil, what are the wax, what do you have to be worried about? I said when, not just the days, but the time of the evening that one should light, where one places the candles. All these are, and more, are part of the conversation. Here he steps back in the last three halachot, and he's kind of philosophic about it, although he does so by creating a problem, like a real problem, which I have called triage. It starts like this. They're looking in chapter 4, the subsection 12. The mitzvah of kindling Hanukkah candles, mitzvah ner Hanukkah, mitzvah sneezed at the truth, mitzvah chaviva havia ad ma'od. It's the mitzvah of lighting of the Hanukkah, the Chanukiah, is a very dear mitzvah. I don't know, very much so. V'tzarecha dobi zaherba, a person should be very careful about it. Kedei lo'odia hanes, in order to make, and here's the purpose, the teleology, in order to make the miracle well-known, lahosi b'shevach ha'el, in order to add to the praise of God, v'ho dayal lo al hadishim shosol lenu. And thankfulness, and express thankfulness on the miracles that he did for us. So there are three parts here. You want to make known the miracle. Pirsum Magnisa is another term that's used. You want to increase praise of God. And also the thankfulness that comes with it. Three parts. I feel ein lo ma yochal. What's he has nothing to eat? El min hatzdaka. Totally dependent on charity. Shoel o mocher kesuto volkeach shemen v'neirot medley. He should borrow candles, or he should sell his raiment, his garments, and he should, by borrow, I mean borrow money, not really that, and buy candles. And with that borrowed money, or with going to the pawn shop and putting his outer garment on hak, he should then buy the oil, the lamps, and he should light. How dear this is. Now, there's another mitzvah in the Sefer Zamanim, the Book of Seasons, in which he expresses the same idea. And that's the mitzvah of the four cups of wine that we drink at the Seder. That's also considered to be for making known the miracle. And one of the great, great commentators said, in that context of talking about the four cups of wine, and you should sell and go into Hock and whatever you need to get those candles, to get those lights. And the commentator, the Magen Mishnah, says, you know, how, and even how much more so we do this for the Hanukkah candles. This little, how much more so, Kol Shekin, really bothers commentators. Should be like the same mitzvah. Both the four cups of wine and the Hanukkah candles, both those groups of things are rabbinic enactments. They both have the same purpose, is to pursue Menisa, to publicize the miracle. They both have kind of identical, different times and different modes, but they have the same goal. So why should the Hanukkah candles be even that more so? The best answer is that simply, I think there's really two answers, is that one answer is, well, simply put, at the Seder, if you didn't have four cups of wine, that would be a terrible situation. Therefore, you must put everything to Hock. But in case you couldn't get the four cups of wine, you still have the matzah, you have the moror, you have the telling of the story. You have all those other props in which you declare that there was a miracle of the exodus from Egypt. But with Hanukkah, there's only one thing that we do. It's the one mitzvah of the day, at night, but the one mitzvah of Hanukkah is to light a candle. And therefore, how much more so you would need to sell the last thing you own, even if you're totally dependent on charity, in order to get your own candle to light. That was one answer. I think that now that I say it, I think it's probably the best answer. But the other thing is, I would say that as much as the four cups of wine are part of this internal expression, our familial expression of making known the miracle, and you do it within that context, the notion of lighting the candles is a persuma nisa, is making known the miracle in a very direct public manner, very public manner. And therefore, you know, this is one time we stand up and we say, we're going public. We're telling people what we really believe. We're being thankful. We're proclaiming God's kindness to us. Let's go to 13. Yud Gimel. Harei she'lo ela puta achat lefonav kiddush hayom v'hadlakat ner Hanukkah. Let's say if you only had a small coin, and you had, and you, you know, you're down to your last coin, and you have to decide whether or not that Friday night you're going to either light the Hanukkah candle, or you're going to make kiddush, you're going to sanctify the wine. Makdim liknot shemen hadlik near Hanukkah. The mitzvah of Hanukkah comes first. And you put that before of the ya'al ha'yan l'kiddush, before even the mitzvah of making kiddush or buying the wine. Kiddush ha'yam, to sanctify the day. Ho, shneim b'divrei sofrim. The truth is, even though the lighting on Friday night, not lighting, the recitation of Kiddush on Friday night is so dear to us also, and it's such a powerful thing that we do, Hanukkah candle would come first in that one night of the year, or maybe two nights, in which Hanukkah would fall on Friday night. Mutav l'haktiv near Hanukkah, sheyesh bo zikaron hanes. It's preferable to give precedence to the kindling of the Hanukkah lamp, for it commemorates the miracle. And even though creation, which is in Kiddush, is what we talk about when we make Kiddush, it's not part of proclaiming a miracle. It's kind of like stating a fact. But Hanukkah, with the joy, the anticipation, the joy, the carefulness with which we light, and its public nature, that is persume nisa, that is making clear and making known and making famous the miracle. And you know what? That comes first. This all brings us to 14. Hayah lefonav, Yudalad. Hayah lefonav, ner Beethoven, ner Hanukkah. And here are the choices. Let's say the choice was different. Before lighting the Shabbat candle, but it's called here Shabbat candle, it's called the candle of the household or the candle of Hanukkah. Oh, ner Beito, the Kiddush Hayom, or for that matter, lighting the Shabbat candle or Kiddush. Enough money just for the wine for Kiddush. Ner Beito Kolem. In all these cases, even with the Pirsume Nisa, making famous the miracle for Hanukkah, nonetheless, ner Beito, the candle of your household, making sure those Shabbos candles are lit, are Kolem. Why? Mishum Shalom Beito, because of the peace that's needed in the house. And indeed, the notion of peace, now he's going to riff on that a little bit, that whole notion of that sota ritual in which a woman has been accused of adultery by her husband, and they bring her to the kohen, and she drinks from a powdered water mixture, and the powder comes from the very name of God, which is erased within the water. And why does God allow himself this denigration and degradation? So she should prove herself innocent, and the two of them should get over their fears and suspicions, his suspicions, maybe she has suspicions, to get over it and to renew their life. That's how important Shalom is, that God allows his name, God forbid, to be erased. And now he says another thing about Shalom. Gadol Shalom, Shekol HaTorah Nitna Lasot Shalom. Greatest peace, Shalom, for the whole Torah was given to make peace. No other reason. Lasot Shalom Olam. To give peace in the world, not just in our little corner, in our little shtiebel, in our little section, in our little neighborhood. Not just Shalom Olam. Shemar says about Torah in Proverbs, Derachacha Darchei Noah V'chol Nativoteha Shalom. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its pathways are pathways of Shalom. And that's really the last word that the Rambam wanted on the page of the end of this second and important book, Shalom, and that the whole purpose of Torah is Shalom. The basis of this is Rashi's interpretation in the tractate on Sabbath when he talks about lighting candles. Is that Rashi says, you know, we light candles on Friday night. Really, it's not because it's symbolic. We light it so that people have light in the house and people will not suffer by walking around in the dark and feeling oppressed. In fact, the great Rabbi Avadi Yosef, it's very clear in saying that when a woman or a man, but whoever's lighting candles, usually a woman, when she lights candles, she should have in mind all the electric lights in the house should be lit up the house. It should feel good. People should feel comfortable in sitting and reading a book and the rest. So that's an understanding of having the shalom in the house, which is a very basic understanding of not living in the dark, not living the dark in any possible way. There's another interpretation I heard from an old study mate of mine, who I think was his idea. And he said, you know, Rabbi Rosenthal. And Rabbi Rosenthal, knew by his first name then, Rabbi Rosenthal says, you know, there may be another interpretation. Generally speaking, in a traditional home, there's one set of candles. It's the man who lights candles. And generally speaking, in a traditional home, it's the woman who lights Shabbat candles. If you're in a situation where there's no money and you have to make a decision and you decide that the man will light the candles, that means the wife will not be able to light her Shabbat candles by which she expresses herself and gives light to the family. That's not the notion of Shalom. And therefore, the whole example that said in the section here about Shalom, that even God allows his name to be erased in order to bring peace between husband and wife, so too here, let us have peace between husband and wife, between siblings and siblings with their parents and their grandparents, the stranger in our midst, people that don't know about Hanukkah, Jews, and the message of Shalom for the entire world. Amen, amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.